And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. It's a new year. We're already into it quite deeply. Nonetheless, so we're glad that you've joined us here on a program that brings you new paradigms for a new world. We are trying to give you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And we are on 7 a.m., 7 p.m., and Monday mornings at 1 a.m. That 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. is Sundays, and then Monday mornings at 1 a.m., and that's on the radio station, and it's also streamed live at those times. Then there are the podcasts. You better go to the podcast and listen to the entire interview because sometimes they go longer than the 50 minutes that we are allocated. And you can do that by going to SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Stitcher, as well as the homepage of RichardDugan.com and the radio show's page of RichardDugan.com. And yes, there is a revised, updated version of the Richard Dugan website, RichardDugan.com website, and it's coming. It's slow, but it's coming. I've been told, Richard, your website is obsolete. It is not a mobile device ready or friendly. I apologize for that. I am my own webmaster, and I guess that goes along the lines of if a person has himself for a physician, he has a fool for a patient. And in my case, I don't know. A person who has himself as his own web designer, you fill in the blank. Needless to say, we hope that you enjoy the programs. We hope that you will listen to the interviews. Go to our guests' websites. We are linked to them. And when you go to SoundCloud and you click on the little grocery cart, normally people have that set up so you can purchase things. No, we are not selling you anything. You click on that grocery cart, it takes you to our guests' websites. And then, of course, if what we are talking about resonates with you and you like what we're doing, and you'd like to support us, we would greatly appreciate that. We have a PayPal account where you can send us any size of contribution or support. We are not 501c3. We are not nonprofit. So bear that in mind. If you'd still like to help us, we're greatly appreciative of that. And so let's jump right in here. We have a returning guest. I'm very excited to have not only the author of The Gifted Journey, which is based on over 25 years of personal experience in the career development field as a strength-based practitioner, my guest's passions lie in helping people identify and live a life based on their talents and gifts. She's returning to our program here on Tell Me Your Story. Stephanie Moore, thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to talk more not only about the book, but about the branches of that same tree that are out there. Great to have you back with us.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
You know, and I'm going to share this with our listeners because it's pertinent and it shows, I don't know, I'm just going to share it anyway. My love for doing these programs, I was sitting at the beach in my truck looking out over the ocean and you called and I had somehow, it didn't show up on my calendar when I got up this morning at 6 a.m. So I'm thinking, oh, great, I've got time. I can do this. I can do that. I can do the other. And you dial up and you say, oh, no, you stay there. I say, no, I want to do the interview. And that's why we're here now talking about the gifted journey. It's your unique path to your unique path is just five transformational steps away. But you have something more than just the book, The Gifted Journey. You also have retreats and a workshop. And it's, if I'm correct, the workshop is something that's a little bit on the new side for 2019, isn't it?
It is. It is. It is amazing. When we, well, the original thought behind this book was never for it to be kind of a standalone book. It was always meant to be part of a bigger process. And so we're excited that we've built that out and we're going to be starting our retreats coming up at the beginning of March. And we have four scheduled for the year. So we're going to be bringing this to life, hopefully, for people and giving them that experience.
Oh, you've got two in California, one in Hawaii, if I'm correct, and one, no, I take that back, two in California and two in Hawaii.
We do.
And, of course, as you say, the first one is coming up very, very soon here. And we encourage people to check your website, which, by the way, folks, is thegiftedjourney.com, if I have that correct, Stephanie.
You do.
The Gifted Journey. We talked about the book. We talked about the concept. But let's refresh those who may have heard it before or introduce to people who are tuning in for the very first time. What is The Gifted Journey? And if we can touch upon those five transformational steps that will basically help people along their very unique path.
Absolutely. Well, I think as you and I had talked before, this was based on many years of being in the career development field, also on my faith side, being in the spiritual gifts arena, and looking at the process that people go through to really, you know, enter into this. And typically it's in transition moments that people really look at their lives and try to figure out, you know, where are they headed? Where are they going? Who are they? All those big questions we ask when we need to make major life decisions. So it's, you know, like if you're in high school getting ready to pick a college, that's a major life transition. Or you're in college getting ready to go into your first job. Or you're in a job and you're just really unhappy and you just have no idea where to turn. Or, you know, you just want something more, you know, and even for those that are getting ready to make that transition into retirement, these are all moments where we look at ourselves and say, okay, how can I make really intentional choices about living a full and satisfying life? And so the steps that we've outlined just model the process that I've been used to for all these years. And the five steps are discover, which is really to spend that time learning about yourself and assessing yourself and reflecting. And then the second step is discern, which is really looking objectively at your past to see what was it about what you've done that was energizing and fulfilling and satisfying and meaningful, so that you can make informed choices about what you want to take with you going forward. In the dream step, which is the third step, that really is about allowing your mind to really break through all of the boundaries we put around ourselves, you know, the censoring we do of, oh, I can't do that, or I, you know, there's no way in my life I could do that. But really deep down, you know that that's a dream you've always had. So how can you start to bring that up into your intention? And then the fourth step is really to design. And that is to really look at some concrete things that you can do, small things that are, can be even seem like baby steps that just point you in the right direction and start you down that path. And we have lots of strategies in that step to make it very concrete and practical. And the last is just do. And that's that daily motivation to continue to encourage yourself that you are on the right path and things that you can do to just keep it always intentional and present and mindful. So those are the five steps, and that's what's outlined in the book. And that's what the retreats and the workshops are all going to be centered around.
TheGiftedJourney.com is the website. We're talking with Stephanie Moore. We're talking about the work that she is currently doing and has been doing for some time and is available to you. What's the difference between the retreats and the workshop, or is it the same two names for the same thing?
It really is. So the retreats are, I guess I would say they're more meditative, reflective. It's going to be in a small group setting where people are sitting around together live. I mean live as opposed to being virtual. Mm-hmm. And over a weekend, so you're getting away and you're just spending that time together. We are also offering a series, a three-session series where it will be either live or virtual, but over a period of time. So we're actually doing one for my parish coming up here in March and April over 3 weekends, Saturday mornings from 9 to 12. And it will model the same process of the retreat, but it will be spread out over time so people can come and go and experience that way. And then we're also going to offer that same experience virtually, so anyone, you know, in the world could join us for those virtual retreats. But it's going to follow, again, that same process, 3 sessions virtually for 3 hours.
I know that as I've traveled through this world and my life, I've been through a number of different personal growth and development programs. One in particular that was compared to EST called Life Spring back in the 80s, that was at the time very challenging because I had never done anything like that before. And yet at the same time, actually very rewarding because I met some very interesting and very intriguing people, unfortunately, that I have not kept in contact with. But then in the 90s, I went through a series of programs through another organization that actually offered their program for free. And you gave what you felt you could afford to give. And then they had these booster shots on Mondays once a month where you'd go in an evening, you'd go to this one hotel where they would have a room set up and you'd go in there and, you know, you'd You'd listen to the speaker speak, and then he would open it up for questions. And his focus, of course, was on the philosophies of I can't remember the gentleman, D'Arte Chardin, I believe it was. And there was one other gentleman as well. But nonetheless, there are so many different kinds of programs out there. And I like this aspect of the five D's. And the one I would like to take a look at, because I notice as I have been doing these programs, I guess I'm getting educated in such a way as I'm able to figure these things out. And that is the five D's, the way you do it. I mean, the first thing is you do have to discover, but the discerning and the dreaming, but the dreaming and then the design to the doing, those last three. That's sort of, if you will, the from a macro perspective, from a more metaphysical or spiritual perspective, that's sort of the process of creation, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, it sure is.
Talk to us about that and how you are able to get through to folks sometimes to help them to understand that they've been doing it all their lives, but maybe just unconsciously?
Well, it's funny because I don't know if you happen to see the quote from John O'Donohue at the very beginning of the chapter. In fact, I'm turning to it right now. In the very first, if I can just get my hands on it real quick here. Let's see. Here it is. He says, your soul knows the geography of your destiny. Your soul alone has the map of your future. Therefore, if you can trust this indirect oblique side of yourself, if you do, it will take you to where you need to go. But more important, it will teach you a kindness of rhythm in your journey. And that's always touched me deeply because I think in our soul, we know that there is a path that has been made for us, a unique path. And I think, you know, when we are very young, somehow we tap into that joy and that unconditional love, and you know, whatever that means for people. For me, it's my God, right? It's how I was created and who I was created to be. And I think we get glimpses of that when we're very young, and then as we get older, we start to lose that signal, you know. And yet, there are moments in our life where we will tap back into that and we know there's something there, but the demands of life and the noise and all of it gets in the way. And I think when we dream, we're really coming back to who we were always meant to be. I think that dreaming is just allowing our minds to settle and get that clarity. And many people experience that in different ways, whether it's through prayer or meditation, just the quietness, the stillness of the spirit, to allow yourself to tap back into that knowingness is the best way I can say it, you know. And so I think that dream part becomes so important, and it's the one we skip over the most because we want to do. It's always action. And then also, you know, in life we've been told we can't do certain things or we wouldn't want to do certain things. And we are being led by other people's filters about what they think we should do or shouldn't do. So we, without some sort of guide or map, we will fall into those perceptions that other people have of us and not listen to our own true self and soul. So, you know, I think when people start to tap into that, that's where the design then becomes so exciting because you start to feel like, yeah, this is something I really can do. And if I just start taking small steps and I see the progress, I get more affirmation and confirmation I am on the right path. And that's where everything becomes much more joyful and satisfying.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking, as you were talking about that, I was thinking that, yeah, we are easily distracted. And in this day and age in which we live, especially in this country right now, not that this hasn't been around for centuries, but now it's more public. People are being publicly shamed for taking a particular position on whatever the subject is. It doesn't matter. If you're talking with someone who is opposed to what you're talking about or in favor of what you're talking about that you're not in favor of, it's not enough for them to say, hey, I think you're wrong, or you're a bleeding heart liberal, or you don't care about humanity, kind of thing. Now it's on the internet, it's on social media, and you get literally publicly shamed for your position, for your philosophy, and for what you have come to believe. And then, so what that does is then it pushes you away from that whole aspect of designing, dreaming, and then designing. So, oh no, I guess I'm not worthy of that dream, and so I'm not even going to pursue it. Or it forces us to go down a path that we never intended to go down.
Right.
And that's very sad, because what I find so interesting too is, and maybe this has gone, it's run amok a little bit, but this whole, and of course this is along the same lines of the subject of bullying. I mean, people are getting bullied all the time. You can call it shaming, whatever you want to call it. And I'm not sitting here saying that you don't have the freedom to say what you want, but we do all live here on the same planet together. I had an incident where I was in a non-injury accident back in November of 2018. And before we departed, I went up, I shook the guy's hand, and I says, I'm glad we're both okay. Now go and make it a better day, because I'm going to. Because I live in a small town. I may come across this guy again down the road. I don't want that specter, that energy following us around.
Right.
You know, and he had his arms crossed the whole time. And then he let his hands down. He shook my hand and he laughed a little bit when I said that. And yeah. So the tension was eased. And yet we are so programmed to want to be right in whatever position we take, aren't we?
Well, it's funny you say that, because I have had a really nice response to this book. And the other day I looked, I had a review from one of the reviewers who was asked to review the book. And her comment was that she didn't care for the fact that the last chapter had a spiritual bent to it, and that she was going to be more careful about the books she reviewed. And I thought that was interesting. I mean, because just to, as you say, people, this is going to hit people differently depending on their perspective. But I wrote her a very nice note and I thanked her. I just said, thank you for your perspective. And I can appreciate your wanting to know the nature of the books that you're reviewing. So thank you for that feedback. I mean, I felt like it's kind of the same thing, a handshake to say, now go make it a great day, because I can't.
Yeah. Well, I had an author who was suggested to me. He's a Christian author, he's a pastor, and he'd written this book. And of course, I knew where he was coming from, and I thought, well, why not? I mean, we have all kinds of people. I've had Scientologists, and I've had atheists and Buddhists, and so on and so forth on this program. So I don't have a problem with that. And so we're in the process of setting this whole thing up over the course of about 2 weeks. And finally, the PR gal emails me back saying, he's declined the interview with you. And I shot back an email saying, well, why? What seems to be the problem? And she acquiesced, because an email was sent to her, and so she forwarded it on to me saying, here's the reason why. And so basically what it was he had never been to my website, and he acknowledged to the PR gal, it's my fault. I should have checked this guy's website out. He's just got a lot of weird stuff up there. God. That was a direct quote. And I thought, wow. So I sent an email back to her and I said, I understand this is not your doing, but you might want to pass on to him that he has no clue as to who might be listening to this program. And they might actually be inspired to a call to action through this interview. It may only be one, but what difference does that make? At least he reached one. And she kind of passed that. She responded to that saying, you know, you're very gracious and so forth, you know, and I will let him know. And that is true. He doesn't know. Nobody knows. And I've even had another guest, a possible guest from the same perspective, philosophy, basically say, no, you don't have enough of a, you have a too small an audience. So I'm on the internet. What do you mean too small? I'm global. But it's very interesting how you get pigeonholed sometimes based upon, again, and again, I always try to preface everything by saying that nowhere in any of these programs do I mean any disrespect to anybody and their philosophy, their belief, you know, where they've been for generations. I'm trying to understand this too. That's why I'm asking these questions. I'm trying to figure all this out just like everybody else. I'd rather live by the quote, it is better to begin in certainty, to begin in doubt and end in certainty than to begin in certainty and end in doubt.
That's a great quote.
You know?
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
So tell me about this one other aspect that you have going for you, among others, of coaching. What is that all about? I know it's been a big deal for the last, as the word coaching, life coach and so forth, for the last, I'm going to say 10 or 20 years. But it seems like as opposed to finding some kind of religious leader or philosophical leader to follow or say getting a mentor, and maybe that's what a coach is too. But help us to understand from your perspective, what is a strength coach as you put forth?
Okay. Well, so it's interesting you say that because I right now am seeing this surgence of coaching. I mean, it's everywhere. Everything is around coaching. And I think it comes down to this process, whatever process you're going through, is hard to do by yourself, right? And you need somebody who can be objective and can ask you the right questions, really kind of take the questions that are in the book and ask you them out loud so that you have somebody who's listening as a sounding board who can help reflect what you're saying and can guide you into your own answers. So they're not there to give you the answers, but really to guide you into getting your own answers. If it's a great coach, you know, they're really there to just walk alongside you. And strengths coaching really takes that affirmative approach, right? So they're going to have a lens of bringing out, helping you bring out what those strengths are, where you feel empowered, where you feel strong, and help you to really realize and recognize that. And this would be different than mentoring, because mentoring is really seeking out people who have an expertise that you are trying to learn. So there's coaching, but there's also teaching and training that might be involved in mentoring. So you're really seeking out a specific area of expertise versus a coach who really their job is really just to be the artful questioner and to help guide you.
Hmm. I don't know about you, but in my life, I've never really felt the need for some individual to follow. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when I have read someone's book, it's struck me in such a way that I thought, wow, this is quite profound for me today. And, you know, I really take that stuff in, then I move on to the next book or, you know, whatever it is. And sometimes I feel as though, did I make the right choice not to follow someone, you know? And it's real interesting because I know a lot of people are out there looking for that someone to follow, to guide them in their path. And I mean, for me anyway, and I don't know about you, but I've pretty much been self-taught. I mean, I should have received my PhD by now, but you know, it's, you know, I have to, unfortunately, I would have to go through the formal process of getting that. And, you know, yeah. I've still got plenty of time to do that if I really wanted to. But then again, I also am pretty proficient in Photoshop too. So there you go.
There you go.
When did this a gifted journey begin for you? And maybe more importantly, how? Or what was that? Was there a catalytic event, if you will, that put you on this path and you realized, I need to do something more than what I'm doing?
Oh, I don't know that there was one specific moment, but I will tell you the first story I talk about in here was early in my career, right after I graduated from college. My first job was with the phone company, and I was as a sales trainer. I'm not as a sales, I'm sorry, I was a sales rep. And our first week on the job, we went through sales training. And that was my first glimpse into seeing somebody in front of the room training you in a specific skill. And this woman was amazing. She walked in a red suit, and she was, you know, vibrant and funny and energizing. And I remember watching her thinking, what a fun job that would be to go and train people to do something really interesting. And I remember going back to my manager at the time and really excited about this idea and said, what would it take to get into a job like that? And her response was really discouraging. She said, oh, you know what? I've done that. You wouldn't want to do that. It's exhausting. You're traveling all the time. And by the way, you don't even have the experience to do it.
Thank you for your support.
Yeah, exactly. So she's, you know, basically looked at me like, get back to work. And I remember feeling really defeated, but there was this glimmer of something that I thought would be interesting, and then having somebody just dismiss it. And it was the second manager I received who asked me, you know, what do you really want to do in your career? And I remember feeling really vulnerable and feeling like I didn't want to share what I had experienced. But she kept encouraging me, so I finally did share with her. And her response was, well, then let's get you in front of people. Let's, you know, and she encouraged me to become an ambassador for the company. And so I went out on trade shows and talked on behalf of the company and made presentations. And that's where I got my platform skills and my teaching skills. And then when she got promoted into the training department, she took me with her. And I owe my life and career to her. But that was a moment in my life where I said, boy, the power of people on your journey, the ones who think that they know what's best for you versus wanting to bring out the best in you, you know, that change of perspective. And so, you know, from that point on, it became really apparent to me that when I went into a job, I wanted somebody who really believed in developing people. And those managers are not easy to find, at least in the early days. Now there's a lot more leadership development, and that's another part of my life. I am passionate about training leaders to be developmental leaders because of my experience and focusing on development and helping people in their careers. And so it has since, you know, since 2000, when I went out on my own, leadership development has always been something that I've always had as part of my work, as well as career development.
You know, I find it interesting too, and as you're speaking of these things, excuse me, that the answers to your questions and the principles by which you live, for a time, usually this is the case, work for you. And that's great. But one thing that I've noticed is that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for anybody else. Yeah. And yet at the same time, you sit there going, yeah, but it might. And so I need to share this. You know, I need to get this out there. And it reminds, I quote this gentleman all the time from his book, Celestine Prophecy, James Redford.
Oh, yeah.
About messages that we have for one another. Now, just because I give you a message that's the size of War and Peace doesn't mean that you're going to incorporate every word from that message.
Right.
But there might be a kernel in there somewhere that you can pull out and incorporate into your way of living, your philosophy, if you will, that helps, as I say, to put that puzzle together of the big picture. Which, you know, we may or may not ever see, but at least we're trying to understand. And as the more we put together, the more we understand. You know,
absolutely. Well, and as you were just saying that, it made, when you asked originally about what was the catalyst, you know, I never claimed to be a writer. I didn't grow up with this passion for writing, but this book was something inside of me that I just felt had to come out. I didn't know if it would impact anyone. I just knew for me, this was a story, my story and my experience. And I remember it took me 5 years to actually publish it because I started to question myself and say, you know, there are 100 books sitting behind me in my bookshelf right now on self-development, because I'm just drawn to that. So what would my book offer that all of these other books don't? And it was my youngest son. I was sharing this with him, and this was, you know, 5 years after I'd started writing it and still lamenting about it and had the manuscript on my desk all that time. And he said to me one day, he goes, "Mom, just write it because you can. And if you don't, no one else will."
Mm.
And he said that, I was like, you know, that's absolutely how I would want everyone to picture their lives, that you all have a story to tell. And so what that maybe 1,000 people before you wrote something similar, yours is a unique story. It's your experience. It's how you see it. And if it touches one person or not, you write it, because that's what the whole gifted journey is about. It's our own unique path. And if it can impact even one person, that's great.
I think that's the one thing that we need to keep in mind, and that's why I was so taken aback by this pastor who refused to be on the program. You know, I think, well, wait a minute, you know, you above all else, all others, know that it doesn't matter if you quote unquote save one person or inspire one person, it was all worth it.
Right.
You know, I mean, yeah, you know, when asked, well, what is it you're trying to do, Richard? Well, I'm trying to change the world. But I'm not going to do it in big bites.
Right.
Going to do it one person at a time. I mean, I've had some very interesting when this program used to be live, when we would take call-ins. I received a call for one of my guests, and he is a Vedic astrologer, and the caller says, "Well, how do you know that this works?" And of course, my guest says, "Well, you know, I've never been asked that question before, but I'm going to tell you honestly, I just know that it does."
Mm.
And the evidence was placed right before him from all of the people who have sort of given him testimonials about the readings that he's given people. And so, yeah, we have to be out there putting this forth. I mean, I have to be honest with you. I was struggling, and I may have shared this in our last interview, with finishing my book. And I'm not going to say that I've abandoned it, but I've let it go for the time being. Because obviously, you know, for whatever reason, it's not ready. I'm not necessarily saying the manuscript isn't ready. I'm not ready. And so I'm going to continue to work on that. And I'm hoping that by the end of the year that maybe I might be. I mean, I'm hopeful, but there are so many other things that I have going on and I have delayed and procrastinated. I'm thinking, you know what? Stop stressing over it. Let it just if you're stressing over it, it's not time. Let it go.
Right.
We tend to do that with a lot of things, don't we? We think that my life's purpose is this, and so I've got to go do – this goes back to the fifth element of your 5Ds there, of doing. And we think that we've got to be doing, 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 doing. And sometimes the doing is in the not doing, isn't it?
Exactly. That is exactly right. And so, you know, you have to take care of yourself in this process and give yourself the permission to stay – where you are until the clarity comes. You know, I loved what you just said, and it's how I felt, that now's not the right time, and that's okay. That manuscript can sit there, and you'll know. You'll know when you pick it up and you say, okay, now's the time. And to just give yourself that permission to say, that's okay, right? Mm-hmm. Because there are other things. But I think that's, again, going back to being intentional. And I just want to acknowledge you, too, as you were sharing about some of your guests and the impact that those individuals have, and that you give people a chance to share their voice, you know, out in the world. I think what a gift you give to the world in what you do, and the fact that you are open to all different perspectives. What a gift that is. So thank you for you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's and I have to say that it's actually kind of funny in a way. Years ago, when someone would say such kind words, I would come back with some, for some God unknown reason, long explanation. as to why. And I remember there was one time when I did that and I stopped talking, and my words were reverberating in my ear, and I'm going, what the hell did you just say? So now it's, thank you. Thank you very much. Or I appreciate that. Period. End of story. No more. I'm not texting anymore. That's it. I'm done. And I know that there are times, even on this program, when, yeah, I get into little stories about, you know, myself and my experiences and so forth. And someone is going to be assisting me in this process of trying to put these interviews into some other format in addition to, because this person says, you know, because they've listened to a lot of the interviews, you have so much great information there, you know, and you kind of need to, I don't know if the word is cull it all together or, you know, compile it in such a way that, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and go over the last 11 years of interviews trying to put together and compile new compilation interviews. That's a lot of work. I mean, it would be well worth it. But I'm sitting here thinking, okay, maybe I need to get a transcription service to transcribe these and then go through keywords and that kind of thing. And then maybe, I don't know, put together the book called Tell Me Your Story.
Oh, that's great.
You know, there's an idea there. Don't anybody take that. Okay, don't start using my interviews. And although I will tell you this, and this goes to this goes to another side issue of intellectual property rights. My biggest concern with these programs is that the information gets out there. Now, I know how to do this next step because I've done it with permission. But if someone was to extract my voice from these interviews and post them with their voice asking the questions with my guests' answers, you know what? I don't care. The information my guests have to offer is much more important than the host. That's why this isn't called the Richard Dugan Show. And I know there are people, you know, and of course I said, well, but yeah, but your website. Yeah. Cause tellmeyourstory.com was already taken.
Yeah.
And of course it worked out really well as far as my email address, richard@richarddugan.com. But, trying to set the ego aside as much as possible, because this, you know, I am not where I am because of my efforts solo. I didn't get here by myself, and I didn't step on a bunch of people. I got a hand up from a whole lot of people. Do you find that in your coaching that there's a certain level of resistance by some folks that they kind of want to take that perspective? Yeah, I need, you know, almost to the extent that, okay, you're going to tell me, Stephanie, through your coaching methods, how to do this, that, or the other thing. And then I'm going to take it. I'm going to go, and I'll be on my own. Do you find not necessarily that specific, but that some folks, they have a hard time breaking through that wall of self importance?
Well, you know, I think a couple of things that come to mind. I think sometimes when people come into coaching, they're looking to you to give them the answers, like, you've got some crystal ball that's going to tell them exactly where they should be or where they're going. And at the end of the day, they really just want to be affirmed in their own thinking and in their own choices. I think sometimes people have a hard time getting out of the way of themselves. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't allow enough reflection, that they want to control everything, the whole process, rather than just kind of relaxing into it, letting the universe around them inform them as well as they informing the universe, if that makes sense. So mm-hmm. I think that's why, you know, and then there's the other side of it too, which is the waiting to be found out, that kind of imposter syndrome. Like they got to a certain point in their life, but they're not sure how, and they don't know that they deserve it. You know, that they're waiting to be found out that they aren't as good as other people think they are. So it's almost the reverse. It's, you know, I've made my way up through the ranks and I'm sitting here and I really don't know what I'm doing. And I'm waiting for somebody to tell me, oops, we made a mistake in you.
Yeah.
So there's that kind of thing that can come up in coaching quite a bit.
You know, I watch the entertainment industry, you know, and award ceremonies and those kinds of things. Yeah. And there have been times when I have sat here, not here specifically, but, you know, in the seat where I'm working at that time and going, well, where's my Super Bowl? You know, where's my World Series? You know, because sometimes I think, oh, I've done so much great stuff and everybody's so appreciative, but I don't really have those accolades. And I was watching one awards program where one guy who didn't think he was going to win, and he did, and he says, you know, I'm telling all you young people out there, you know, that this isn't, and he's holding up the award, this is not the reason why I do what I do. Mm-hmm. I am grateful for the appreciation, because usually the appreciation is from peers. This is not necessarily from fans. And that's, you know, one of the things, and I've also found too, that, you know, when I start feeling a little bit too big for my britches, the universe has a wonderful way of giving me my comeuppance, you know, humbling me back to that place where it's okay for me to say I'm good at what I do, but
right.
You know what? Yeah, you are, but there's always someone up the ladder a little higher than you too. So yep. Keep that in mind. And just, you know, do your best to stay as humble as possible. Be grateful for what you have. What about gratitude in this process of the gifted journey?
Well, it's interesting. So as part of the ongoing strategies, I mean, it's actually woven throughout. But this idea of just maintaining a gratitude journal or just having a practice of reflection at the end of the day to reflect, because that's part of the discern step, is to really look at your day and say, you know, where did I see my strengths? Where was I frustrated? And what am I most grateful for? You know, those moments that happen in my day that I want to reflect on. And I think there is such power in just capturing that, because then you start to live a life of gratitude. Like, everything is gift. You know, you are gift. I am gift. Everyone is gift. And when we start to see each other in that light, then it's like gratitude abounds. You know, everything is, every moment I have, every person I meet, every experience I'm in is somehow teaching me and giving me a gift of awareness, of reflection, whatever that is. So I think gratitude then becomes more of just a way of being. So I think having that daily practice of reflecting at the end of the day, looking at what you're grateful for, setting that intention every day before you start, of looking at everything as gift, is a great life practice.
Stephanie Moore is my guest, thegiftedjourney.com. That is also the title of the book, The Gifted Journey. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay right where you are, because we are coming back.
Tell me your story.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. I'm here with Stephanie Moore. She is the author of The Gifted Journey. She also has retreats and workshops of the same name, and we encourage you to go to the website, thegiftedjourney.com, to find out more. Stephanie, this is one of those aspects that I find interesting when it, you know, because you kind of made the comment about being grateful for everything. I mean, you know, I'm sitting here and thinking, okay, breathing in, I'm grateful for that breath, that I'm actually able to take it in and then let it go. Because, you know, if I hold on to it too long, I'm going to pass out. and of course, for seeing all of the wonderful, incredible things that I'm able to see and do, and the people that I'm able to associate with. And it's just incredible. And sometimes we do tend to forget to be grateful, especially for the little things like the breath or the bird on the bough or the raindrops dripping down from the trees or what have you, or a very simple meal of, you know, I was funny. We were driving on a Friday afternoon following work. And normally what we'll do is we'll go grab a bite to eat. Then we'll go to the grocery store and then we go home. And she said, well, where do you want to go? I says, well, you know, believe it or not, I'm in the mood for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So we went to the grocery store and we went home. And I had my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And it was, I mean, it was so good. It was very tasty. I liked it. And it's like, and being grateful for, I mean, it seems silly in one sense, but we tend to gloss over that stuff and take it for granted. Do you find yourself noticing those kinds of little things? Sometimes maybe like even the water coming out of the tap or the electricity coming out of the socket.
Well, I wish I could say I'm always that intentional. I mean, there are days that, like anything, it starts off on the bad foot, you know. So, but I try, you know, I try. If I set the intention early, if I spend that time early in the morning just to, you know, whether it's to meditate or just to sit peacefully somewhere, you know, if I give myself that calm, that really helps to start the day off right. And I tend to be more mindful as I'm going through the day. But like anything, you know, certain things can trigger and get in the way, but I try, is what I will say.
Yeah. I was hoping you were going to say, I've mastered it and I'm, and I'm here to teach you how to master it.
I often
joke with guests about that because they've written these wonderful books, got great information, great insights, great steps, lessons. Sometimes they'll even have a little journaling page after each chapter kind of deal. And I think, wow, you figured it out. Wow, that's pretty cool. And of course, they'll usually say, no, I'm still working on it. Okay. That's why I wrote the book. Matter of fact, here's a great, one of my guests who, developed this, you know, those rubber bracelets that they sell for different causes.
Yes.
Well, he has one for his cause and it's self-improvement. And, his dealt with self-deprecation more than anything else. That was the focal point. Mm-hmm. So he puts the bracelet, and this is a 21-day program. Okay, 21 days. You put the bracelet on one wrist. And every time you have a self-defeating or self-deprecating thought or verbiage, you move the bracelet to the other wrist.
Oh.
Now, here's what he told me from the statistics that he's kept on himself. At the time of the interview, he had, now bear in mind, it's a 21-day program. You know how long he's been doing it?
How long?
6 months. Do you know how far he's gotten?
How far?
Day four.
Wow.
That's how
far, yeah.
How inculcated our minds are,
yeah,
to putting ourselves down. And he says, it doesn't have to be a big one. I'm such an idiot. It can be so subtle that sometimes you're not even aware that you have just put yourself down. Mm. What about that aspect of building oneself up and doing it in such a way, again, that doesn't inflate that self-importance, that ego?
Well, again, it goes back to, I think, you know, looking at life as gift, right? That, you know, the sense of humility gets in the way sometimes, you know, because to be humble and to discount what God has put in you is discounting God's, you know, God's awesomeness, you know, his power to create you into this amazing, unique individual with these gifts. And so, you know, I've always cautioned people to be careful of humility when it gets in the way of realizing your true self and your gifts and your strengths. That you need to see yourself, you know, as gift, and that you're here for a reason and purpose, and you don't want to discount that.
That is, to me, so important. I mean, because some would say, well, yeah, but, you know, people tend to, there's this narcissism going on all over the place. We're not talking about narcissism. We're talking about cutting yourself some slack.
Right.
You know? It's okay if you're good at something. It's okay to acknowledge that you're good at it.
And that right there, Richard, is the hardest thing, I think, of all of this and why people don't seek out coaches more, because there's something that's so hard to look in the mirror and say, I'm worthy, or I'm enough, or I am good, you know, or I am powerful, or I have something to offer, or I have these gifts. I don't know what happens to us, but I think that's why you see this influx of strengths coaches now, because somewhere these coaches gain that insight that their role in life was to help surface this for people. And yet it's hard to get people to want to go down that path. And why I'm so passionate about this work, because when they choose to come to a workshop or a retreat, they're taking that first step into acknowledging their own power. And I want to treat that as, you know, as gently and as affirming as possible. And I because it's such a gift to come to that realization. And you want to just help people. You know, I always find that people who have an overextended ego are the ones that are most insecure, because they haven't been given feedback. They haven't been given affirmation. So they've had to create it themselves. And sometimes it's disproportionate. And so I always used to tell leaders, those people who are egotistic or are really screaming for attention are the ones who need it the most. They're the ones who haven't really come into themselves and their own self-actualization. And they're trying to make it up as they go. And they're screaming out for people to acknowledge them. Mm. And those are the hardest people you find that you want to give affirmation to, but they need it the most.
And that's a hard one to do, because a lot of times we are so put off by these individuals who are really wanting this attention. And so what do you suggest? How do we, not saying that we're, you know, better than anybody else here, but how do we support them or acknowledge them without contributing to the inflation?
Well, so it's interesting. I think first and foremost, it's just to spend time listening, right? What are they saying? What is it that they're looking for? You know, has someone ever even just taken the time to sit and truly actively listen and reflect? You know, sometimes people get so wound up of not being heard that they're screaming out for that attention. So I always tell, like, managers, you know, just spend time to let people vent and to talk and to really just reflect and not have any critique, because I think people just need to be heard a lot of times.
Mm. Yeah, it's and like I said, it is difficult for some of us. I went through a couple of phases over the last couple of years where I was actually able to say thank you, teacher, this particular narcissist, for teaching me how I do not want to behave. Mm-hmm. A few months later, I was able to actually say, and I forgive you. But more importantly, I forgive me for allowing this whole energetic dynamic to even exist within myself, because it's not serving me and it's not serving the people around me. And I need to let all that go. And it's helped. I'm not saying that I'm cured. I haven't mastered it either. But at least I've acknowledged the fact that, you know, there's an issue that needs to be dealt with, and I need to figure out, because it may not be someone on the national scale. It might be someone on the state or local, or even in my own household or in neighborhood.
Right.
But it's like whether they're conscious of it or not, they're trying to figure out these kinds of things too.
Yeah.
I've even heard it said that whether it's a narcissist or whether you want to say a bully, that, you know, if you stand up to a bully, usually in many cases they're going to back down. Because, as you say, they're just as scared,
right,
as anybody else, and they're acting out of a sense of insecurity and out of fear.
That's exactly right.
You know, but we didn't understand that. I didn't certainly understand that when I was going to school. All I knew is I needed to perfect my speed in running. And so I got involved in track and field, and I did quite well. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
This process of the gifted journey again, let's talk before we wrap up one more time about, first of all, the gifted journey retreats. Now, this is where people are actually going to go to one of two locations, depending upon the date, to participate in an in-person event.
Yes.
And it will. And how long is this event? How long are the retreats?
So they typically will start on a evening, so somewhere around 5 o'clock. This one coming up is going to start, check in around 5 o'clock. We'll actually come together from probably 7 until 10 that night. And then we will be together from 7 until 7 the next day. And then the last day we will start at 7 and end at 1:30. So this is a Friday through Sunday, this first one. And that's typically how those will go.
Okay.
So and people can come after work, yeah.
Right.
Come after, get home fairly early on that Sunday.
Absolutely. And then there are the workshops, which are, I guess we could use the word virtual, that are done online. Now, is this done one-on-one, you and someone else, or do you actually have multiple people logged in at one time?
Exactly that. So we'll have multiple people. It will be like having a live workshop.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be on a virtual platform. We'll all be able to see each other. We'll all go through exercises. We'll have breakouts where people can go off and be in smaller groups virtually. And just like we would do paired discussions or small group discussion, we'll be able to do that virtually and come back together as a large group and just go through the exercises, and we'll come back for three different sessions.
What kind of feedback have you gotten from the participants of the retreats? Because obviously the workshops are new. In terms of the direction that their life was taking as opposed to what it's taking now, if that actually has changed, tell us a little bit about some of the responses that you've gotten.
Right. So we've been doing similar workshops for quite a few years. And it all has kind of the elements of self-discovery and then looking at yourself and putting a plan together. And I think the biggest thing that people walk away is the self-discovery, like taking the time to not only do the exercises, but then talk about them out loud, which brings it to a whole nother level. If there is something just powerful in sitting with other people, hearing their story as well as your story, and affirming, you know, just affirming in yourself that this is who you are and what you want to take with you going forward. So you leave with hopefully a higher confidence level about your direction and making choices, making informed choices now that you know more about yourself. Now you're not just reacting, you're much more proactive in how you make those choices.
Yeah, I know that. I know that it can be extremely daunting in one sense for some folks because, for example, my father is a very private person, and as the phrase "your spiritual life, your walk with God," that's a personal relationship. Well, for my father, it is. He has never really shared a lot about that with me, and that's okay. Whereas I'm sharing it almost every time I get on the program, a little bit about my personal philosophy and walk spiritually. But that's me. But in terms of these kinds of coaching sessions, let's say you were to do them one-on-one, or maybe we'll go ahead and stick with the groups because that's how you're doing these, both the workshops and the retreats. Do people find it difficult to share, or is there part of this process where, you know, okay, we're not really going to get into the meat, the nuts and bolts of your traumas in the past kind of thing. Do you find that there is a short-term resistance in that regard? It's like, no, I can't talk about that.
Well, you know, because we're taking this from a strengths-based approach, this people are encouraged to look at really what has been areas of their life where they have seen their strengths, they have felt, you know, strong, and where have they felt weak. We don't get into the more counseling aspect of it, and I don't find that people tend to go there because they realize that this is about appreciating the past to inform the future, and we're really focused on kind of looking at that past objectively so that we can then kind of use it to create a plan going forward. So I think, yeah, we're very clear that this is not like counseling as much as it is about a plan moving forward, if that makes sense at all.
So individuals who participate in these events, these retreats or workshops, they don't need to worry about that. They don't need to be concerned that a lot of personal information is going to be revealed and breaking down these walls. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's important for people to know that, you know, this is not one of those deep intensives like I went through where, yeah, you did deal with, you know, childhood traumas and so forth, that they're going to bring you to tears or make you angry or whatever the case may be. This is more about, as you've stated, more about, as you say, learning from the past so that you can make the changes in the present for the future that you want.
Exactly. And I am not saying that there haven't been times people have gone through this and realized that there is a block there for them. And that's where we would encourage them to seek out certain types of counseling, you know, if there's something that is really creating that. The other thing I would say too, we are going to, after each of these workshops and retreats, we are going to offer additional one-on-one coaching for those that want to continue a more one-on-one process. So we've got an entire group of amazing strengths coaches that are on the website. Right now we're offering 30 minutes of free coaching for anyone that wants to kind of dip their toe in the water to see what coaching is all about. Because I know for some people it can feel very vulnerable to sit and talk to somebody you don't know about your life. And so what we thought we would do is offer 30 minutes free. You come and get an experience of that. And then if you want to actually sign up for coaching, you can do that. So that's something we're going to offer after every workshop, after every retreat, for those that are interested in that.
Mm-hmm. How have family and friends responded to the work that you've been doing for 20 plus years?
I have the most amazing family and friends, I will say.
Great.
They have been so supportive. And if you go on to Amazon, I mean, a lot of them have just been amazing in their feedback and their support and just colleagues and people I've known who have known me. So it's been just an amazing thing.
Yeah. Well, it sounds to me like even though you may not be doing it consciously, and maybe you are, sounds like the law of attraction is working pretty darn good for you. You're attracting to you not only the family and friends that support you in what you're doing, but you're also drawing to you the people who are in need of what you have to offer so that they can then in turn get back on track. What about the aspect of success? And when I say that, there have been times when I have been challenged by individuals who have questioned my sanity when taking on a particular project, okay, a production project. And this was back in the first 15, 20 years of my career. And they would say, you're undercharging. You should be charging more. Yeah. And, of course, I'm working for a religious radio station where on the local level, you have a lot of ministers and pastors who have very small churches, don't have big budgets. Right. And my theory was I would rather do the work for the small amount than not do the work at all.
Right.
And to help them get their message out, whether I agreed with it or not, that's not my job. I'm not involved with content. I'm involved with continuity so that people can hear the message and make up their own minds.
Right.
And then the first time I decided to actually set up an hourly rate, And then one day I was actually going to raise it, and I was talking with a prospective client. And I said, and my hourly rate is, and I kind of cringed a little bit inside thinking, oh, they're going to say no. Okay, sure, no problem. I'm going, wow, okay. And it was a great feeling. And that's not to say that each client comes along. I jacked the rate up another time to see what the reaction is. But I think that we do get caught up in the success equals the dollar sign.
Right.
Talk to us from the coaching standpoint about the, how do I put this, the best approach for an individual when it comes to their life's purpose. I know that in the metaphysical community, it's always been said, well, if you do the work you love and you're on your path, the money will come. And there are people I've met who are saying, I've been doing this for 30 years and the money has not come. So talk to us about the difference between the dollar sign and success.
Oh, man, that's a big one. You have another hour for your show?
Sure, we'll bring you back. Absolutely.
I think that's probably the biggest thing. I read the book, Do What You Love and the Money Will Follow, early on. And I just I have a hard time putting a monetary value on all of this. And yet I know that people equate the money with the value. So there is this feeling like if I get it for free, then somehow I'm discounting the value of what I'm getting. And yet you don't want to alienate people who financially can't afford this. So the way we handle that, you know, in our church work is it's all free will offering. We put what the value of it is, but it's really up to them. And it is, you know, it's put as a free session, but that an offering can be made so that people can feel that they can contribute to that. As far as coaching, we've looked around to see what the rates are and what people charge. I never want it to be a limiter. So we'll say this is our suggested amount. We want to meet your budget or whatever you can afford and leave it at that. And people come through. You know, I will always ask first, what is your budget, before I will offer an amount, because we may be, you know, miles apart in what we were both thinking. And so I always like to start there so that people feel like, you know, what they can pay and they're getting the value for that.
Yeah. And again, I mean no disrespect to the Jewish listeners, but when I was working for the Christian radio station, I thought the Christians had the corner on guilting when they would say that if you don't support this program, we're going to have to take it off the air. I will never do that with this program, as I mentioned earlier in the program. If I can't afford to keep it going, then that's on me. That's not on the listeners. But it's like I feel the same way that you do. I don't care what support we get. I mean, I do care, but I don't care in the sense that whatever you're led. And if it's nothing, then if that's what you were led to give, then that's fantastic too. As I say, we take energetic support as well. But I'm kind of with you on that. And like I said, the thing that people who criticized or sort of brought this thing to my attention about how I'm undercutting myself financially, it's like, okay, so if I don't do this project and I want to get this experience, I'm then going to have to pay someone to go to school to learn how to do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas at least I'll get a little bit of coin to rub in my pocket, to rub in my fingers, as well as helping someone get their message out. And it's threefold here, and I get the experience. They get the project, I get the experience, and I get a little coin.
Mm.
And that to me is a win, win, win.
There you go.
Who's losing there, you know?
There you go, yep.
So I think that, and I often wonder about that when it comes to our corporations in this country and the advertising, or even our political arena. Anytime you criticize your opponent or your rival product or service, I won't have anything to do with you, because mm-hmm. I want to hear what you're going to do, what you are going to do, what you are going to build for me or service you're going to provide for me. or politician who is going to run for the office and so forth. Because when you start criticizing your opposition, you're telling me that you're not worthy of my attention.
Right.
You know, that's kind of how I look at that. It's real interesting.
Well, no, I agree with you.
If somebody wants to get in touch with you and wants to hire you, as it were, or have you as their coach, okay, which certainly I know you're open to, they can go to thegiftedjourney.com.
Yes.
And they can contact you through that location, as well as, and I had it up just a moment ago, and you have an email address. If I'm correct, is and correct me if I'm wrong, it's morebiz@me.com.
They can, and you can do that one. Works, and so does Stephanie at thegiftedjourney.com.
All right. Well, we're going to stick with Stephanie at thegiftedjourney.com, and I know that on the website, I'm not going to give it out right now, but there is a phone number people can call also, and they can touch base and make contact, leave a message, information, and so forth. And if they are indeed seeking out this kind of coaching, they're looking at least setting aside three 1 hour sessions or something like that.
Correct.
And that's a small amount of time in the infinity of the universe.
Yeah, I would also like to just offer to, we will come to, your community, your organization. We can do these workshops on the Gifted Journey process as an outreach or an out service for your group, whatever. I mean, we would love to be able to offer more of these workshops that can be customized to whatever you're looking for, but to take people through this process would be great.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Customized support. You can't go wrong with that. You really can't. No. That's fantastic. Well, I'm excited about what you have to offer, and again, encouraging people to go to thegiftedjourney.com. Check out not only the book, The Gifted Journey, also the retreats if you want to travel. And boy, that would be a wonderful little vacation. Maybe take a few extra days off. Heck, I'm going to tell you right now that if I'm going to fly to Hawaii, I'm not just going to fly out there for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then leave. No way. Okay? Although what I would like for you to do is consider the possibility of holding one of these in Ireland. I would take a 15-hour trip on a Friday.
You got it.
But then I would stay for 2 weeks after.
I'm with you.
Stephanie Moore, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program.
Richard, thank you so much.
I really appreciate your time. You've given us so much here on this interview. And, of course, you were with us at the beginning of 2019 to begin our journey together regarding The Gifted Journey. And we're going to have you back again later this year to talk more about and hear about maybe some of the success stories, some of the processes that you have discovered that are not in the book, that because you've just discovered them and now you're going to have to do a revised version. But we would love to have you back on the program to continue our conversation. Or, since you are in Northern California, you do realize that we're down here on the Central Coast, and we'd love to have you in studio to continue the conversation as well.
That I will do.
All right. Well, either way, we will have you back. And I do greatly appreciate it. And again, a reminder that it's thegiftedjourney.com. The book is of the same title, The Gifted Journey. And again, don't forget about the workshops and retreats, and we'll be letting you know about those events coming up, especially with the ones coming up at the beginning of March. And they're going on throughout the year. So we'll keep people posted and linked to your website. And again, I thank you so much. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to make your dreams come true. Until next time, love, Talal.